I'm in Brussels and I'm talking to Joe Dowling. Joe, how long have you been living here? Beside, I suppose, what is a very, very old house indeed.
74 years. 74, and I was 74 in December. Sorry, 74 years here.
And how long are the Dowlings here?
Since my grandfather married in here, and he died in 1929. He was 89 or something, and he came from the British Inn, and he married in here.
And the British Inn was just down
Up the
up,
road.
yeah, and that was where the Dowlings
That
were,
was, yeah, they came from there.
yeah.
And this was Davitt's. That's who lived out in the old house there, Davitt's. And so he married in here, and that's since then it's Dowling's.
Yeah. Who were the Davids? Who were your mother's people?
One was a military man, that's all I know. The grandmother's name was Margaret Davitt, and one of her brothers or something was a military man. That's all I know about the Davitts. They have a big old headstone down in Saggart Cemetery, and I have a drawing of it that I made. It's very old. It's a big leaning one, and there's a load of names on it. But I think they came from down Saggart direction,
Yeah.
or else there's a ruins of an old house up there. There was. So I think they owned, Dowlands owned it, that land out there, and the Davitts owned it that. And then when he married in here, of course, it was.
Was it a maid match?
I don't know. I don't know.
It would make sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. So the grandfather had three brothers. One was over in Newcastle and had a pub over there. I know nothing about them. Although my father did. He kept in touch with them. But when he died, and we lost touch with them. And the other brother belonged to the grandfather was up in British Inn, and the other man was here. So there was three. There was
Any idea where the Dowlings came from originally, before they came to British at
we haven't
all?
a clue. So people used to wonder, did they come from Kilkenny, or there was an old guide off down the road, and he was well in his 80s. This was donkey's years ago, and he thought they came from Kilkenny, but we haven't a clue.
Yeah. But they started a business in
In the
the
British
village
Inn,
below,
yeah.
yeah. What about the village itself? You went to school here, did you?
Oh, yeah.
And what were those days like? Who was your head teacher? Do you remember
Head teacher,
so the
principal,
principal of the
yeah,
school?
McGillicuddy, a Kerry man.
Oh, a Kerry man.
Yeah. Michael McGillicuddy, I think Michael was his name, yeah.
And
So, and Miss Dowding, and she was from Leitrim. There was two teachers, principal and a lady teacher.
what was schooling like back in the late 30s, early 40s? I mean,
It was very
you remember,
primitive,
yeah.
primitive. We had to bring turf and help out in loading the turf into the school, and there was no toilets, and you just had to go up a lane. That was
Dry
it.
toilet up
Yeah,
above, yeah.
and then show people used to come to the school and put on a bit of a show. That's what we used to look forward to.
Who were they? Have you any idea?
Having a clue,
Yeah.
having a clue who they were. And we used to look forward to the shows. And
These would have been traveling groups now coming
yes,
out.
yeah. And there was another old lady teacher, Miss Maloney, and this McGillicuddy man replaced her. So she was a very cross. She never taught me, but she was a vicious old lady. And I heard that when she passed away, I don't know what county she was from, but there was only about five. A certain person told me that was at her funeral. There was only five people at her funeral.
She wasn't popular then,
So she
really.
mustn't have been
Yeah.
popular. But then she retired, you see, and went away wherever she went, and no one probably knew about her passing.
Joe, was there many other how was there a lot of students in the school at that time?
About God, I suppose to be about 40 or 50 or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there were quite a few all locals coming
All
all
locals,
around,
yeah,
yeah.
and they all had a walk. And sometimes we'd get the bus. If it was a very bad morning, it would get the IOC. That was the buses that came, the Irish Omnibus Company. And it wasn't CIE then. And we used to get that bus. And sometimes a truck driver would give us a lift.
Yeah.
Get you there down. Wasn't many sand lorries on the road then. There's lots of them now. But there'll be Tom Watkins, Kathleen Watkins' father now, that was married to Gay Byrne. Kathleen Watkins, that was married to Gay Byrne, well, her father was a truck driver and a gravel contractor. And he'd give us a lift.
Yeah. And when you left school then, was that 14 or did you come back?
Oh, 14, no, that was it.
You helped on the farm then?
Helped on the farm, yeah. And I don't know whether you heard of the year when there was a very bad harvest and the army had to come in and give a hand out.
In 1947?
Yeah, or sometime before that maybe. And I remember all the soldiers over in the field helping at the harvest. And I remember then came home one day from school and they were after killing a pig here. And his head was hanging up and they were out there in the yard doing that.
Yeah.
So those kind of things I remember, you know. I think I was about 100 the way I thought that.
Okay. No, but you were certainly living in a different time.
Yeah.
When things move slower. I'm sure the traffic out there wasn't...
I remember we could lie on the road out there and sun ourselves and the tar was bubbling on the road. It was beautiful summers, but everyone thinks the summers were better then. But they were good. We could play football out on the road and not worry about traffic.
Yeah. And you got to know the people locally then.
Oh, yeah.
Would one help out the other when the harvest
was coming? Oh, yes. Everyone would help out one another. And people would come up to the houses at night time to visit and swap yarns and all the rest of it. Yeah. And there was this old man lived down the road and he used to come up. He lived on his own. And you'd hear him with his walking stick and he wouldn't arrive until about 9:30 and we'd be thinking of going to bed. And he'd arrive and then they'd start talking about yarns and we'd be half afraid to go to bed. They'd be talking the ghost stories and all the rest of it. You know?
Yeah.
So he's passed on years ago.
Yeah, but a good storyteller,
wasn't he? Oh, yeah, he was great.
What was his name?
Patsy Bryan.
Yeah.
And he was talking about when he'd be bringing hay down to into the city and stuff, and he'd be meeting all sorts of characters in Thomas Street and all around that area. And whether you could put it that were true or not, but these were his stories, you know?
Yeah.
And they were good.
Was this mixed farming going on here?
Mixed farming.
How many acres were you farming?
About 50 at the time, yeah.
And when you were drawing the hay in...
Oh, that was great in the summertime, yeah. The uncle was here and there'd be loads of kids, next door neighbours and ourselves on the bogies bringing in the hay and all the rest of it.
Do you remember when the haycocks were in the field?
Yeah.
To protect them against the weather, did you have a kind of a sugon?
Well, we had a head of cocks and go around them and pull the butts and tie them down. And maybe in a couple of days, a big wind like what we got now, you'd see them all, the tops blowing off them, and you'd have to go over again and redo the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they would be tied down.
Oh, they'd be tied down, well tied down, yeah. Yeah.
And had they a cover on the top?
Oh, no. No, that was never done around here, no.
And when you brought the hay then?
Brought the hay in and stacked them all out there. And then made the rick of hay and everyone would come give you a hand to make the rick of hay. And then you'd have to go and head the rick and get it. But you'd put plastic or something over the top of the rick of hay, all right.
Before the plastic now, what did you...
There was covers, green-type covers for them, you know. Maybe you'd just do it with anything at all, you know.
What was used?
There was these coal man. There was a firm that supplied those kind of things. Yeah, green type covers.
Hessian type.
Yes. Yeah. And they were expensive, and at the time, you know, this was you're talking about the 30s, and the 40s, and the 50s. So not everyone would buy them at the time, but you could get them.
Yeah.
You know.
And so the harvest, when the harvest was in then, it was time for celebration. And would celebrations go on?
No, there was no such thing as celebrations or no such thing as dances and houses around here. No, none of that.
Did it not?
No. No, there was none of that.
How big was the population here in Brutus back in the 40s?
It wasn't very, you wouldn't have anything like modern bungalows or anything, just scattered houses from around. And they just didn't go out and have hoolies or anything like that. None of that. Nor, I never remember any masses and houses around. They didn't go in for that either, around here.
And the majority of the people living, were they mostly Catholics, or were they
Oh
mostly?
no, there was Church of Ireland people next door and up on the hill, and we kept in touch with them all the time. Yeah.
The center of the village, the pub, the Dowlings,
The pub up the road. That's
yeah,
where they
that's
went.
where
Yeah,
everybody
yeah,
got together.
yeah. And I remember my mother had friends in town, and they were mad IRA people, and they had a shop in Kevin Street in Dublin, and they used to come out here for weekends, and they'd all go up there and sing their hearts out up in the pub up the road. I remember that.
And there was a local, there was a mill, wasn't there?
There was a Swiftbrook paper mill,
Yeah,
yeah.
and that was the place where
That
all the
what
people
you're
were
talking about,
locally.
yeah, that gave great employment from even from Kilbride and around here and everywhere. Yeah.
Who was the manager?
Mr. Hosburgh.
And what was he like?
He was great. He was Some people didn't like him. He was very strict, but I got on great with
Did
him.
you do part-time work there?
Oh yeah, you see, I was a postman first
Yeah.
in my teens, and I loved that. I loved being a postman. And then when I gave up the post, I went to the mill, and I was there doing shift work for a while. And then always had a man looking after the lakes and the rivers, a bailiff to keep an eye on things. So then he asked me one day, would I do it? So I said yes, and it was very convenient. So I used to have to travel up into the mountains in case anyone would divert the water flow for their own use and or pollute it. So I had to do with all that.
And was it stocked with fish?
The lakes up there were, yeah.
And did you have to look after that side of it?
Oh
Or
yes, I
did
looked after
you,
that
yeah.
side.
Were there poachers
Oh
around?
yeah, I nearly got killed a couple of times.
Did you?
Yeah, throwing bottles at me and swearing at me and all the rest of it, and they wouldn't leave and all the rest of it, you know.
Yeah.
So maybe I took that part of it too serious,
Yeah.
but I should have let my fish away because it wasn't worth the hassle.
Yeah.
And then one time I came down here to have my dinner at 1 o'clock, and I was only sitting down to eat it, and this old guy, he was a fisherman, an old aristocrat type fella, he said he wanted me to come up and run a poacher that was threatening to throw him into the pond, and he wouldn't leave, and I had to go up and try and persuade this fella to go. That's
Yeah.
why you'd meet itinerants and everything up there fishing, and it was
Scary moments then.
scary. Yeah, so that was,
But you did your job
I
and
did it, yeah, and I thought it was great. I loved doing it. But at the time, and I loved taking out the boat and just rowing around the whole thing and going over to the island. And then I was like a wild goat. If the weather was beautiful, I'd go off up on the bike around the mountains to see could I see anyone doing any damage up there.
Yeah.
And that put in a while.
And that caretaking work at the time, were you the only man
Yeah.
looking after this? You were the
Yeah.
local bailiff doing
Yeah.
this.
And then I'd have to adjust sluice gates. In the event of a heavy rain during the night, I'd have to get up in the middle of the night and go off and adjust sluice gates, that kind of thing. And
What kind of
that was the
fish?
part I didn't like. And I hated the winter. And now, would you believe it? Since I retired from farming and since I give up that, the winters are great. But by God, when I was looking after them, you'd have drifts of snow everywhere. The rivers had filled with snow and slush, and you freeze over and you couldn't see them. And that was a problem. Then they'd send up a gang of men to try and clear the rivers because they could overflow and flood houses. Yeah.
What kind of fish were in
the trout, rainbow trout and perch, of course. Yeah. That's what was up there. And it was a lovely clubhouse. Then it's in the 60s, in the late 60s and the 70s, vandals started breaking into it and wrecking it. And then, of course, it went all downhill from there.
Yeah. In the early day, you were doing that work when now? In what year?
I finished in the 1980. And I was doing it from 1963 to 1980. Looking after the lakes.
And you've seen an awful lot of the deterioration,
pollution from quarries and farmyards and all the rest of it. And then at their AGM, the fishing club used to invite me to their AGM in the Ashling Hotel in Dublin, and that used to be great. Big feed and all the rest of it, and plenty of jokes. Aidan would have loved that.
But what about the apart from the amenity and the way people actually use the lakes? Were they out there swimming?
Oh yes, boating? It was like Port Marnock. Yeah, this was before everyone had cars, and that'd be like Port Marnock out there. Crowds of people swimming. But then I found, I saw two fellas being pulled out of it, that two young lads drowned. Then I found another man that drowned himself in it deliberately. And I was coming home one day from the mill, and I never had a car in my life, just a bicycle. So I was coming along on my bicycle, and the road was a bit hilly, so I was just coming along, taking my time coming up. And this man was walking behind me a good bit. And I knew, kind of had an idea who he was. And every time I stopped to look back, he stopped, right? And then, so I passed no remarks, so said he's just out for a walk. So I came home here. And then after a couple of hours or more, they were all out looking for him. And the next thing, I saw him up in the pond drowned. So he didn't want to get in chat with me coming along. So he went into the other lake and drowned himself.
My gosh, yeah, that was, and when you see something like that happening, it's awful. But it would not too much of that.
I didn't see him being taken out of it now, because I came back here to my lunch, and then they put me in a coffin over at the lake and carried him off.
Yeah.
But I saw the other two young lads that were swimming. I saw them being taken out.
Joe, what about the families here? What are the old family names?
Tisdall, Hines, Foxes, Hales, and ourselves.
And the first name is Tisdall?
Tisdall, yeah.
Well, wasn't there a famous Olympian?
Bob Tisdall, no relation at
was
all.
Was there not?
No. And Hines, Eamon Hines, he's a good character as well. He'd tell you some yarns. And the Foxes.
Yeah.
They're gone now, although there's a nephew there. And who else did I mention?
Do you know, I suppose, Joe, when you were going back again to your career of being a postman.
Postman, yeah.
Yeah, you sure you'd know all the names. You'd have to know all the names, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Walsh's. I forgot their old family, Walsh's. And so I used to have to go around, and then at Christmas time, there'd be piles of mail. My aunt had a post office and a small shop. So I could leave here about 8:30 or 8:00 in the morning. There'd be piles of mail. That was a sanatorium down there. And it was all age groups. So they'd be getting loads of mail. And they'd be looking forward to the postman, and they'd be leaning out of the verandas waiting on me to arrive. And I'd have to queue up with all the nurses to get them to sign. If there was registered mail, I'd have to queue outside of the matron's office and go in and get her to sign for all these registers. So I used to get my Christmas box then as well off the matron. And then they put on shows for the patients. And Joe Mack Productions used to put on shows. And there'd be a film as well.
Yeah.
So there'd be a show and then a film. And they were great. And lots of locals used to go to them. But the medical superintendent didn't approve of people going there because he was afraid they might get TB.
It was a TB sanatorium.
TB, yeah.
And were local, were people actually afraid of maybe contracting the...
No,
he
didn't approve. He was rather strict. But he wasn't there himself at the shows, of course, so he didn't know who was going to the shows. So locals would go to the shows. But
and would they not be afraid?
No, they apparently not. No.
Yeah.
No, it didn't cost bother them.
What was the atmosphere in the sanatorium like?
It was grand. Oh, they had gardeners, lots of gardeners that kept the place immaculate. And then the resident medical superintendent had his own big house, and I had to walk up avenues and be loads of sweet peas. I remember the gardens as well as anything, and the smell from the gardens as I was walking up to his house to deliver his mail to his house. And then I'd go into the office and just dump out everything and sort it out with them. And then that was it. I liked all that.
Yeah. Was it a kind of a lonely place, though? You know, where people were.
They had their own farmyard. They had their own farmyard, and the farm here supplied them with turnips and stuff as well in the early days.
Yeah.
And they had their own big farmyard, so that all went, of course, when it was closed for a few years until it became an old lady's home, St. Bridget's home.
Yeah. But many patients in there.
Oh, there was lots of patients. Yeah, the whole place was packed out.
They're all mad looking forward to your visit.
Oh, yeah. And we used to go to mass there as well. And then some of the patients, we were only kids, of course, and I remember them, some of them fainting and all. The nurses jumping out of their seats and going up to assist them. And I remember all that happening during mass sometimes. It didn't happen too often, but I remember.
Yeah. Did anybody feel, or did anybody go mad in there? I mean, you know, can you imagine being... You know,
no, it was very open. It's up on a hill, you see.
Yeah, and but it was... patients would be there for two or 3 years.
Yes, yeah. I can't remember this actor. He was a patient up there. Aidan, I remember telling you about him. I can't tell you his name.
But did they make the best of it?
Oh, they did, yeah. They did.
Yeah, that was an interesting.
Oh yeah, and then
part of your life really in going in there.
Mrs. Bewley loved to get her mail early.
This is Bewley's Coffee now, is it?
Yeah.
They had a farm here.
Up on the hill there.
Yeah.
So Mrs. Bewley had one of these. What do you call the station wagons? You know, the wooden kind of
carriages.
Cars, yeah. But she used to come down and help me load up the mail and bring me to Crooksling and wait on me. Because I had sacks of it. I'd have to make a few runs down.
Yeah.
And she'd come down and load up the mail and bring me down.
This was a kind of a... not a carriage, no.
No, it's a car, but the English type things. What do you call them?
The old Model T.
Yeah. So I thought that was very good of her. I used to appreciate that.
Yeah. And do you remember the family growing up, the Bewleys? They were Quakers, weren't they?
Yes, yeah, a very nice family, yeah. And he took a great interest in travellers and all that and came to a few meetings. They had a few meetings in Britain in the early days. And he had a Jersey herd of cattle, cows, and they supplied his own cafes in town. Oh, they were a very nice family.
Yeah. What was old Mrs. Bewley like? Was she, one of the old stock?
Her maiden name was Gilmore. I remember that. And her parents used to come up from Belfast to visit her, to stay with them for a while. Yeah. Well, a lovely woman. Yeah. And she went, when I look at women now, if they only want to go down to the shop, they're dolling themselves up. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Bewley would go off to town, she'd with her Wellingtons on her and an ordinary headscarf and just go into town and have bother on her.
Yeah. My goodness, yeah. Well, you lived through the war years now too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now the emergency period out here at that time, was there an army camp or was there?
Kilbride.
Beside you here, wasn't there?
Well, I remember soldiers marching up and down the road, loads of them marching. And I remember vividly Frank Aiken coming into the yard there. There was no wall out there then. And he came in and they left loads of stuff in the stable during the war years. don't ask me what, cables, the rolls of this and that and the other. Yeah. And do you know who mended a puncture out there in the old house? Countess Markovitz. Now, I don't remember it, but she mended a puncture out there.
Did she get any help?
I don't know.
You weren't around to
I
see?
I wasn't around to see.
Yeah.
But I remember Frank Aiken seeing him going across the yard with others, and a big army bus, a single decker bus, the grey buses, and with all the personnel in it. I don't know who they were or what they were, but they were storing stuff there
for a while. Was there a large company of soldiers?
I remember them marching, from the camp, in wherever they'd be going into town. Yeah, I remember rows of them going along the road when I was a kid, marching.
Yeah. And the war years, what do you remember about them? But apart from the soldiers thing here, was there a lot of rationing out here?
Oh, yeah, I remember ration books. Oh, yeah. And I remember things were hard to get, and I remember the first time I saw coal. Would you believe it? I remember the first time I saw coal.
What were you burning?
I don't know. Timber. There was loads of trees everywhere.
Yeah. And of course the coal. Where the coal was coming up from, Castle Cormor, was it?
I don't know where it came from, but it used to come anyway.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it for the first time.
What else do you remember seeing for the first time? Electricity?
Electricity. I remember wind chargers. Lots of houses had, especially the Church of Ireland people up on the hill there, they had the first wind charger.
Right, they had their own electricity.
Yeah. They were the only ones that I knew had wind chargers. Tom Watkins had one as well. That's all. Or maybe Tommy Hudson had one.
Yeah, and all the other houses, of course, didn't have electricity.
No, just oil lamps. Yeah, and tilly lamps and them kind of things, you know.
Yeah.
But
you've kept a little museum outside yourself, haven't you?
Museum.
What's in it? What exactly have you been collecting over the years?
Anything I could salvage that I thought was worth holding on to. I salvaged and kept, you know.
Yeah, maybe we'll take a look at that too, will we?
We will, yeah. But there's lots of other old stuff I want to show you in books and things if you want to see those.
Yeah,
they give you a better idea than what I'm after telling you.
Yeah, because your aunt was the post office. It was the postmistress.
Plus a little shop.
Yeah. And what was your aunt's name?
Ellen Bourne. Ellen Dowling before she married.
Yeah. And was there a shed across the way where the tram used to pull in?
Yes, and she took in parcels and sold tickets for the tram. And that's the kind of thing she did before she became postmistress. And the IRA were over in the fields behind their shop. And the British Army, the Free State, were up on the hill at Kilteel, and they were shooting back and forward at one another. But she happened to be outside our shop, and a bullet got her and went through her wrist there. Went in through her wrist there. And Dylan, the fella that had the pub up there, he had no sympathy for her at all. He was wanting to know what she was doing. Was she walking or gawking or what she was doing that she got shot? He had no sympathy for her. So anyway, she built her own house eventually and became postmistress and a little shop.
Yeah.
And then the tram went off the road in 1932. And as they say, the rest is history.
But her job initially was taking the parcels off the tram.
Yes. Yeah.
And delivering them herself?
No, they'd be collected.
By different people?
People, yeah.
Would just come there.
Tickets and stuff would be left in there for collection and all the rest.
Yeah. Do you remember the tram?
No. I was born the year after the tram.
Yeah.
It went off the road in 32. I came on the scene in 33.
What's your furthest back memory? What can you go back to?
My first communion. Yeah. Just walking back and meeting the missioner. There was a mission on at the time in Saggart. And I can remember this man in his brown robes and a beard coming towards us. And I didn't know who he was or what he was. And that's, I can remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I can remember the local doctor up in British, and she vaccinating us and all the rest of them. That, I hated that part as well.
Yeah. For a child, I suppose that was
because it was very primitive. What she would wait had to do with them days.
Jabbing a needle into you?
Yeah, or something like that anyway. Yeah. Can just about remember that.
What about the lime kiln? There's a lime kiln here on your land, isn't
there? Up there, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember them working, of course. That was donkey's years earlier, wasn't it? I think it was, anyway.
Never saw that operating at all, did you?
No.
Yeah, or did your father talk about it?
No, they never heard them talking about it. There was another one. They were in different places, up Blessington, Kilbride, you know, in certain areas.
Yeah.
But I never heard of them. Working, you know.
Was there anything ever found on the land, you know, in the ploughing? Anything dug up?
Yeah. No. A neighbour up the road, my age, he was going up to with his father to our field, and his mother gave him a 5 shilling piece to play with or to bring with him or something. He had it anyway, and he lost it. This is their story. He lost it up in our field, but we never found it. I was often thinking of getting a metal detector.
What about your own collection? Did you find anything locally that, you know, that was interesting?
No, you mean pikes and things hid up in the room? No, nothing like that.
Or any old books, or did you ever come across any letter, manuscript, or, you know, anything?
I have the deeds of the lakes when they were sold in 1847.
Have you?
Yeah.
And who bought the lakes?
Swiftbrook Paper Mills, McDonald's.
And who did they buy them from?
My grandfather, my great-grandfather, or whoever he was.
Yeah.
Edward Dowling.
He owned them.
He owned the land. It was a kind of a swamp up there or something, and a valley. And they needed water, a continuous flow of clean water, especially in the summertime. They need a good flow. So they had to have reservoirs, you know, they couldn't depend on the stream itself. So they had to have two reservoirs. So when they'd run short in the summertime, then they'd have this to fall back on. So he sold that to them. So I have the deeds thing there if you wanted to see them.
And they go back to
1847.
Seven.
Yeah, that's when they were sold.
Yeah. That's the year of the famine.
The year of the famine, yeah. So... it tells you on it somewhere. I never read it through, but I have it anyway.
Yeah. Do you know, Joe, your room here is full of lovely old things. There's an old bottle. Tell me about that old bottle.
There was a public house in Terranure called Floods. It's Blades now. And my father used to go to Terranure that's where he went when he wanted a haircut. He'd go to the barbers in Terranure, and then he'd meet up with old friends in this pub, and then he'd come back home. Yeah. And I retrieved that when this house was built, and I found a lot of old bottles of all descriptions over there while I was trying to make gardens.
No, that's a very old bottle, though.
Yeah, there's no label on it or anything. Embossed.
It is, yeah, and Terranure and Flood in the top.
There's another one. There was a load of them around.
Yeah. So the was there a bottle making factory and
I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting as well, because
that's what he used to do.
So you're a bit of a hoarder. You gathered up everything you could.
Well, I never throw out anything.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some people think, that's junk. I wouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
There's others, all right, but everything he spent, you can see the prices of things in that now, and the dates.
This is a little notebook, yeah, and it goes back to...
18-something.
1832. And it's a record, it's a little... diary, I suppose, keeping accounts of money
he spent and what he got. You know, if someone bought something off him, or if he sold something, or if he bought something for the house.
Hold on, I couldn't go back that. So it goes back to 1894. Yeah.
Yeah, and earlier than before that. So 1893. Now,
your father lived to be a good age, so did he?
He did. That was 1892. I thought they went back earlier. 1895. It's all around the 1890s.
And what was he buying? Just tell me now. What was he? You know, can you read out some of those to me and see what exactly he was buying for the farm here back in the middle of the 19th century?
Okay, he bought a pair of boots, 13 shillings and sixpence. And Hibernia, that must have been, I don't know what that was, whether it was insurance or what. £10.
Yeah, yeah. And you see where you have, was he buying cabbage? I mean,
cabbage seeds or something.
Oh, the seeds,
it could
yeah.
be cabbage seeds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe cabbage, I don't know. I think that must have been, I don't know what that was.
Yeah.
But if he sold a mare, now on this there was a mare killed by lightning up on the field. And that's on this somewhere.
What happened?
And then if he used to have people in helping, and he'd pay them, and he has it here, such and such went away on such a day, and he paid them off whatever he owed them, and to be only in here for while he wanted them, you know.
Yeah. So these were farm boys. Helping out.
Yeah. So that thing goes back. Which was he? Because it's all in pencil and it's hard. I found what. Four lambs of Christy Hines's in my New Year grass at Raheen on the 12th of December 1892.
Would that have been
he was very particular. he was very particular about everything he spent. Yeah. And that's the way he was. Yeah. Not like me.
Well, in those days, I'm sure you had to mind your money because
it
wasn't easy to come by. He gave work so to local lads.
And he used to have some woman in here as well doing housework and that kind of thing.
And the old house now, which is just beside your new house here.
That was
a
single
fine
story.
It's a two-story, isn't it?
Yes, yeah, two-story. But it was a one-story, I hear, one time. So I don't know any more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the house you were born in and grew up in.
I wasn't born there. I was born in the South Circular Road.
Oh, but when you came back.
Yeah,
because in those days the deliveries were in the house.
Usually. Oh, yeah, yeah.
You had a midwife came around.
Yeah, there was two born in the house, and I was born in the city.
Yeah.
And
who was the midwife around here?
Nurse Preston, at the time. That was in the 50s and 60s, or before that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's lots of things. He kept notebooks. There's another one of it, but it's somewhere else. It'd take me ages to find it.
Yeah, but it's a good record, isn't it? Of the place here.
Yeah, it's the fact that it's written in pencil and that you can still read it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And going back all those years as well. Yeah.
This is acid-free paper. That's why I have it wrapped up specially. No, I just rolled it in there and not really fast. It's 1840. You can see the date there yourself.
Yeah. Are these the deeds now?
Yeah. Of the ponds up there. I don't know whether I showed you that.
Again, it's great to have this as well because this is.
I'll have to do very something with it because you see these blotches there are starting to appear. That's called foxing.
Yeah,
isn't it?
It is, yeah. During the Second World War, did any of your uncles go out and fight in that war?
Yeah, Uncle Dick, as we call him. He was in the Royal Navy or the Merchant Navy. Anyway, he was on a ship in the Azores when it was torpedoed by a German U-boat, and they were all lost. And he married a lady called Mabel Scott. She was a daughter of the captain of the ship that he was on. He was first radio officer, and he's commemorated on Tower Hill War Memorial in London, near Trinity House. And I was over at it in, I think it was 80, no, it was in the 90s. And he's commemorated on panel one as you walk in. His name is there. So didn't we go to Trinity House, because that's where all the place is there. And they have a book there with all the people that were lost at sea. And we got a conducted tour of Trinity House, and lovely replicas of all the ships in glass cases. And because we were shown this book with his name on it, and they turned a page every day.
My goodness. Did you ever meet your uncle?
No, but he was very popular. When he come over here, all the old families, he used to go around them all, and he was great friends of theirs. And do you see, I never remember him. He was here while I was here, all right, but I don't remember him.
Yeah. But you were too young to to ask questions anyway.
Yeah. And I have a photograph of him out there on the ship and all.
And he was decorated, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. MBE.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's how he's commemorated in the Tower Hill War Memorial. And then they have this book with all their names of all the other personnel and in Trinity House.
Yeah. And just going back again, a couple of years before that, during the Troubles, 1916, 1923.
No, his brothers were all, and plus my father, were in Dara, I see.
Oh, right, yeah, so they were protected.
My father was in Roscrea, Ferns, and there was one other place. And my father was very plastic, quiet man, and I heard him one time. I remembered him in town. I was in town, right? With my mother, and there was some football match in Crow Park, and they used to meet in there and stay overnight to go to the match. So they stayed with these Cavan people, and they were mad IRA, but they used to be questioning my father about had he any prosecutions and all that. He hadn't won during his time as an RIC man, and I'm not surprised, because he was a very placid person.
Yeah, but was he a bit of a sympathiser, maybe, would you say?
Who?
Your father?
With
the Republicans?
He just got by and done what he had to do. Maybe get someone with no light on their bicycle or something.
Right. But during the Civil War, was he still...
No. The two brothers got TB then. When the disbandment came, right, in 1922, and the Garda Síochána took over, they all retired and got pensions. The three brothers, my father's two brothers and himself.
They never continued into the Garda.
No. And they had farms, right? And then one of them got TB. They lived down there. And the other man had to go to run the farm and look after them. He got TB, and they died within 2 years one another. And then there was only my father left. So he had to run this place.
Yeah. And at that stage, he left the barracks, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Or did he leave at the split?
He left at the...
Before the forming of the new guard.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
And did he ever give any reason why? Was it just because they didn't want to join the Garda force?
No, they see, he had to come here. So there had to be someone here to run the place here.
Because at this stage, yeah.
And then they had married into other farms.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And that's how all that happened.
But they never took any active role in
Any politics?
No.
Although my father wore the poppy. When he'd go into floods of Terenure to that pub to get his hair cut, you'd see him arriving home with a poppy and his lapel in November.
Did that go down well here?
He didn't care, obviously. It didn't bother him. But I was told by an old IRA fella over in Arfarrel in Breithas that they were told around Breithas not to attend my uncle's funerals when they died. But apparently they had big funerals, but this man told me there were the word went around British not to attend. Oh, Jesus, I thought that was my cigarette paper. But that's what this guy told me one time.
Yeah, but that's interesting, isn't it? The way your father kind of stood up to the local.
Oh, yeah, he didn't bat an eyelid. He just came home with the poppy. Yeah, didn't worry him.
And
he was very proud. I have his watch and chain still. I have his watch and chain, and I have other bicycle clips. I have the bicycle clips. And other bits and pieces, you know. Well, I didn't worry him about the wearing the poppy, and never. He just didn't.
Do you ever talk about De Valera?
And yes, IRA people used to come out here, and they'd have great banter. And they'd all go up to the blue den and forget about everything and just sing away. So they never got narky or anything.
He was showing his colours, but when it came to having a pint, he joined them and have a pint with them.
No, he didn't. He wasn't strung up and excited about things. No, that wouldn't bother him. He only wore the poppy with that particular. He just done that. He just went off on the bus there into Terranure, got the haircut, met up with his friends, and came home then.
And
obviously brought back a few bottles.
Would his friends have worn the poppies as well?
No, they were friends of his, Tom Hudson down the road there, and others.
Was he a good farmer?
Oh, yeah. Well, he was, but he wasn't strong and he wasn't in good health, you know.
You as a young lad, did you kind of take over? Did you have other brothers and sisters?
No, I had two sisters and myself.
And it was left to you then?
Yeah.
And did you like farming yourself?
I did. And then what was the most I had was 35 cattle at that time. And then I just packed it all in the 80s. No, in the late 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that out of choice?
Out of choice, more or less, yeah.
Yeah. You could see that a living wasn't to be...
Yeah, well, it was getting more complicated and more paperwork and this, that and the other. And I thought to myself, well, I've had enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was much simpler in your father's time and your early days.
Yeah.
Just got on with
it. The economic war was a very bad time then.
Yeah.
You heard of the economic war.
Oh, yeah, but you don't remember that.
Oh, I do, in the 30s, late 30s. Just about, you know.
Yeah.
The calves were making little or nothing. You couldn't give away a young suck calf, you know.
Yeah, so it were hard times in the farm.
Oh, they were, yeah. But he had his pension from the UK, so that was a help.
Yeah. But were you self-sufficient at that time? I mean, did you go out and live off your own crops in the field?
We had loads. Piles of potatoes, turnips for all the cattle, grain and everything, and ricks of hay out there and everything. I remember the thrashing wheels coming out there.
Yeah,
that was a big day.
Yeah.
A couple of days, actually.
Do you miss farming?
I did, and now I don't. But as I said to you, if I was still farming, you'd have loads of snow now. I always maintain, when the minute I stop looking after rivers and giving up farming, the winters got mild. I wouldn't mind to be doing it now. I wouldn't mind doing it now because the winters are better. No snow we're talking about.
Yeah. What about the 55 acres? Is it let out or?
Oh, it's leased out, different things now.
Yeah. Do you know, it was very, what an interesting story. It was indeed, Joe Dowling, indeed. Wasn't it? It was a fantastic story.
Well, now, I donate that. That's a good idea. You just let me know, wait, and let me know.
I will indeed.
We'll have a big ceremony that day, handing over.
That's the deed form you have. Well, no, that'll go into the local South County Dublin Library.
Well, if you want to go out to the hall, I'll show you the uncle and I'll show you other stuff. If you want to, can you carry all that out?
Yeah, I can, of course.
Yeah.
But Joe, darling, thank you very much.
You're welcome.